Okay, so this is the Operation Mutual Defense Advisory Board meeting for Sunday, November 8th, 2015. It is 10:08 Pacific time. So, as far as the response matrix goes, I don't have any updates except for anything, we had the conversation on Hammond already on Thursday. But, John, I was curious if do you have anything to report or any information on that situation down by you?
As far as the Melissa Deagle situation?
Yeah.
Nothing new. I forwarded the information over to Gary the last bit I got. So really just need to analyze the rest of the stuff there. And I'm probably going to go make a trip over. I highly doubt they're going to talk to me, but I would like to go to the Children's Hospital and try to see what's going on. Again, I doubt due to patient privacy laws and stuff like that they'll even talk to me. But if I can try to get any kind of information from them, then I'll try to record it.
Well, I spoke with John yesterday about it, and he dumped all that information in the OMDAB list. I'm going to put together a brief on it. I've spent the last 2 days trying to get the webpage and everything ready to go hit the ground tomorrow. So I'll prepare a brief, and we can put it on next week's agenda, if that's okay with everybody.
Yeah, I explained to her just to be patient, and obviously nothing's going to happen overnight, but it's definitely on our radar, and she was very thankful, and she's got a positive attitude considering everything that she's got going on. So.
Okay. I have no familiarity with it. I haven't even looked at those emails. That's probably what I'll be doing today. So, it's not a pressing issue, you say?
Well, I mean, it is. Her kids were taken by the hospital. It's got like this conflict of interest thing going on where all the children that they send over to CPS, they actually get a monetary kickback for it. And then while they're in the custody of CPS, they also are able to do like all this testing on these kids and run them through the ringer. And of course the state is going to pay for it. But I guess those kids have insurance. She has insurance, and she's got her own private insurance. So it's they basically kidnapped the wrong kids this time, because this mama, she's fighting for her kids back.
So why did they take the kids?
So do we want to discuss that now, or let me prepare a brief and.
Let's prepare a brief. We'll analyze more of the stuff there. I shouldn't have sent it on a mass email to everybody. I should have just forwarded everything to Gary and let a brief get developed. So we'll just, push it till next week.
Okay, now going back to Hammond for a second, Ryan and I did discuss it, and, there might be a fourth door. I guess he forgot that we talked about it already and thought that all of us talked about it. But there might be a fourth door, and that would be in defense of the Bundys. And so I've got to call into Ammon, and we're going to follow up and see if the Bundy family comes up with a plan where we can defend the Bundys instead of the Hammonds. That would be fourth door. So that's pending until I hear from I or Ryan hear from Ammon and find out what the Bundy family plans to do. So that's not,
course,
still pending.
Yeah, that would be a decision that we would all have to make at that time.
But just to let you aware that one's still got working on it.
Yeah.
Roger that.
That's all about all I got on the Hammond situation and the. I'd like to catch up on that stuff, John. With that lady down there, because the very first OMA, not the very first, but one of the first actions that we were looking at was in the Justin Peltier case back there in Massachusetts, when the state took that young lady and away from her parents. And, you know, the discussion was about how to get her back and then secure her with the family so that they couldn't come get her back again. But we need to make sure that everything's up and up on all of those things. But it really concerns me to see kids taken away from their parents. And this is happening constantly across the union now. And if we start addressing these things heavily, then I think it'll stop, or at least we can slow it down. But I'll look into it as soon as we finish this up, and I'll probably give you a call, John, to talk about it, because those things are concerning to me.
Yeah, there a local news station did already do like a favorable news broadcast thing on it, a report on it, and it would be pretty favorable for us the way that the media was looking at it, going against Children's Hospital, and so I'll send it over.
Kids, but I know you have kids, John, and if someone took,
I can't imagine. I could not imagine if they took my kids. It would be
game on.
So here we've got a lady that's been divorced recently. Was supporting the kids on, real brief, was supporting kids on the child support and the alimony, I guess, $1,700. She went on food stamps. That's the only money that is, in what's been reported to me so far, that the government's ever given her. As soon as the kids were taken, she canceled the food stamps. So she doesn't even want to be on the public dole. So she's not a welfare mother.
Nope.
And from what I've seen, I think the report's going to recommend that as long as she wants our action, that we act on it. John, you've been in touch with her, right?
Yeah, I got direct contact with her.
Okay, I'm going to need to, before I finish the brief, I'm going to need to talk with her so you can, you know, explain that I'll be calling, who I am.
Okay.
Probably Tuesday I'll give her a call, but I'll need her phone number if you haven't given it to me yet. You may have. I think you did.
I'll send it all over, all her contact information.
Okay.
As far as a, excuse me, very briefly, just while we're on that, before we get to Tim with the background checks, what we, you know, I briefly described what we had looked at before, but once I get a good handle on exactly what's going on and we can decide, what's your feelings, John? Is this a situation where the kid needs to be retrieved, the kid or kids need to be retrieved and then returned to her, right?
Yes. I mean, obviously, I want this to go down as peacefully as possible, and I would like, you know, obviously, my personal thing, you know, that's just me, is first course of action should just be shedding light on the situation and putting pressure on them to have the courts, you know, flip this over and return these kids to their family. And then obviously, worst case scenario, we are going to have to retrieve these kids and get them back with their mom. They're trying to get the dad to go against the mother now. So they are divorced. And I mean, even if the kids are returned to their dad, then fine. I don't know enough about the dad. I got to get more intel, or Gary can when he's digging in there. So we got to find out what's going on with the dad. Are the kids okay to go with the dad? For some reason, well, the courts and stuff, the law has it that the kids should be going with a family member before getting sent into the foster care and everything like that. But there's money in the foster care. So it's like 9 times out of 10, these kids are just shoved into the foster care rather than putting them with a family member. And so I would like to see, we need to know.
My first article on children being taken by the government was back in 1993 or 92. So, but they use medical conditions as a justification, which is the case here.
Yeah.
the reason I bring it up with such urgency is, you know, we both just agreed, and I'm sure anybody here who has kids would agree that getting your kids taken away is just, that's the, like, one of the worst things you can possibly imagine. And, you know, the government talking about making it go peacefully and that type of stuff, of course, that's always going to be the effort. The government has no qualms. Basically, they kidnapped these kids.
Yep.
It boils down to. And so the question would be, if, let's say somebody kidnapped somebody else's kids, a private citizen kidnapped some kids. Does the government wait until there's a court decision, or wait until there's proceedings, or wait until, and see what they're going to do, and you know, try and get shift the tone of things and shed light on things? And do you see what I'm getting at? Or do they put up a team together and they search? If they locate them, they bust doors down and they get the damn kids.
Yeah, I would like to get the kids sooner than later, and let us hold the kids or something. And I'm sure there's plenty of support and militiamen and everything out there, that guys that have kids, that this would be a pretty passionate case.
Yeah, let's get the brief together, though, and if necessary, if we feel there's urgency, we can have a special meeting like we did last week.
Okay.
Because we've got a number of things on the agenda, and I want to make sure that we're all together on going public with this, the OMD page and everything, so we can move through the agenda.
Yeah, let me brush up on it and stuff, and then I'm sure I'll get with you at some time here soon, John, and then we'll, I guess, you know, as I get a familiarity with it and stuff, we can start probably, you know, you, me, and Dennis can start talking about courses of action.
Great.
All right, so I guess, Tim, we're discussing background checks.
I've gotten everybody so far. Everybody get their email from the background check people?
Yep.
I did.
One question, yep, about it, though. Do we have any indication that somebody with a record, I mean, everybody's coming out clean. We're all squeaky clean. And
well, there's some people who do the background check for me, and it brings up all their past court dates, what's happened with the court dates, and so, I mean, they do a good check. I mean, I've got one where the guy was lived in Alaska, and he had a Class 3 felony threatening somebody with a firearm. And it gave the disposition of the case. The case was dropped. They gave the dates of the case and everything else. So far, I think they do a fine job. They just don't report everything and anything that's, you know, useless.
My assumption has been basically that we are all, I mean, I know that I don't have a criminal record, and I think we just don't have anything to show on there. You've seen it before, and it probably, I don't know, I've been thinking about talking to a couple buddies that I have that I know have felonies and such, just to see what comes back on theirs. But, I mean, I'm comfortable with the check. I know I'm clean, and, you know, Dennis comes back clean. I've seen, you know, seen a couple of these. And
yeah, I mean, I've had the, you know, 2 years, 2.5 years ago, I had the feds raid my house, but I was never charged or arrested, so there's nothing there.
So in the course of investigations over the last few years, you know, I've had people run people for me, and what they come back, and I think what they're using is what employers use, not volunteers, and it has credit history, it has previous employment and things like that. And right here, we've really got nothing, unless the only thing that we can evaluate with regard to the application is criminal record. Is that the only? If that's the only thing that we're concerned about, then
Well, that's fine. I really don't care about somebody's credit history or their employment history. I care about.
I'm looking for honesty is the whole point. That's the whole reason for the application, so that we've got something to compare against what they've told us.
Right.
If the only concern is criminal record, yes, we're fine with this, if that's the decision of the board. If our concern is, are they being honest with us, then, you know, perhaps that an employer-type background check or a renter background check or something like that would be more appropriate. So that's what I want to throw before the board. But, you know, I'm the one that brought up the concern on this. And, you know, if we're vetting, is criminal the only thing that we're vetting for? Or are we vetting their integrity in filling out the application?
Well, look at the bankers. They have stellar credit reports, but they're still embezzlers. That's not going to – that won't come up.
Any banker's going to apply to join OMB, I'm not sure.
No, what I'm saying is just because your credit report comes up that you're outstanding and you paid your bills doesn't mean you're not a shitbag.
Well, they have, among other things, I just pointed out some things, and, you know, there's a work history and other things. You know, what's on the application? Whether I don't know that I don't recall if I've seen one that even included military service or not. But we're asking for 214s if they claim service, so that kind of covers it. The only one we're missing is Ryan.
I would say due diligence, I need to call St. Louis. I don't even have
And that's what we do for down there is, you know, I mean, we ask for the DD-214. And that...
I would say... If
because...
phone numbers...
My thing is if we're, you know, you're preparing to do something to stand up against the government and everything, you want to make sure that they're not a prohibited possessor. That was my main goal, because I didn't want to be taken down by somebody who lied to me about being a prohibited possessor, and all of a sudden he's walking around with a firearm, and we get popped for that. And so if you want to... If you want to go with poor, that's fine with me.
If somebody has a past record, they can be manipulated and turned informant in order to. So, what is the specific one that you look for on that? Is cases that have a stay or something?
There are different states do it different ways, but if adjudication withheld is one, I think Arizona uses a. Texas somewhere uses some other phraseology, but when they're charged with a felony and there's no disposition of the case, it's still pending or it's adjudication withheld or something like that, there's somebody that may have signed a, not like Beecher, his is a public plea agreement and he just got time. But if you do a plea agreement that keeps you on the street, quite often there are conditions, and I think my article Informants Amongst Us uses quotes out of one that was given to a friend of mine many years ago, where he basically has turned his soul over to the government. They even determine if he's lying when he reports information, but he's got to report information. And so it can create a difficult problem for a person when there's adjudication withheld.
Well, in that case, we had a guy who... did the background check, and he had a marijuana case against him that was still open, and I contacted him, and I said, you know, we can't do shit until your case is settled and it's filed. So when that happens, let us know again, and we'll check the background check. And 6 months later, he contacted me and said, hey, okay, it's been cleared up. It was the person who was with him in the car had the dope, but they were charging him also, and they threw it out of court. And it came up that, it was tossed out because, you know. So if there's something pending, we we won't allow them anywhere near us until it's settled.
Well, let's put the criminal aside. Do we want something more extensive to compare against what they've told us, or are we only concerned about criminal record as far as OMD is concerned? This is to the rest of the members.
My thoughts are I'm basically concerned with criminal record and DD 214. You know, times are tough, and, yeah, people might be bouncing all over the place, so their rental history will show up 6 months there, a year here, you know, and your bills might not get paid on time.
But the rest of the board, now, John, Dennis, and Ryan, what do you think?
Let me ask this. So, like we're talking about comparing, so if somebody were to give us a fake name and fake information, would that fake name and fake information come back squeaky clean the same way as somebody that does exist? Or would it come back that they don't exist? Are you going
to
get
add all the information that was required to run the background check?
I think it's a matter of due diligence on the application. If we're asking for work history, and if we just contacted a couple of those, if we had an issue, you know, I don't think it's pertinent in every case, but if we felt like we needed to pursue that instead of getting it on a background check that included employer history and rental history and stuff, we could just do our own due diligence and make some phone calls to former employers and make sure they are who they say they are. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm satisfied with the criminal. I'm satisfied with the background check as it is. The application process, DD 214 and background check seems to cover our ass.
And if you want, I can run one with a fake name and a fake social and see what happens.
Well,
yeah.
No, there's no sense in that. If somebody uses a fake name, if they picked a real person, you're going to get that real person's background. If they give a fake name, they won't be able
to. Yeah, this is true.
But Dennis and John, your feeling, are we going to just go for the criminal aspect of it with the background, or should we look for something more extensive?
I like what Ryan said. I'm good with the criminal, and then it's on us to do our due diligence, and if they got, like, a previous employer or whatever. My biggest concern, again, was just are they coming up with fake name, fake whatever, but we can call a prior employer or call whatever, so we could dig a little deeper ourselves if we need to.
Dennis?
I'm good with the background check, but I also like that DD-214 if they claim military service. Bumped into a lot of folks who claim to be a lot of things over the years.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll yield. It's unanimous. We're going to go with the credit reporting that Tim provided us. The background check that Tim provided.
Well,
okay.
The other thing you got to remember is that when you tell the people that you're going to do a background check and then they choose not to, that's a pretty good indicator, too, because they're not sure exactly what all they're going to get.
Yeah.
If you see what I'm saying, it's a pretty good gateway. If a guy says, well, okay, I want to join you, I says, well, yep, now you got to do a full background check through this company. And he just never gets around to it.
Well, that was one of the reasons we put it in place, because it filters out some of the shitbags.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good just threshold to start with.
Yeah. Some people don't want to fill out an application. Some people are okay filling out the application. Then once they do that, then they find out there's a background check. They don't want to do that. So it's like, all right, well, I don't have to worry about you then.
Okay, so we're going to go with the one we got. So let's go on with the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like that's where we're all good.
Okay, Gary, that would, I guess it's me then as far as the decision brief.
Yep.
Yeah, it's me with the decision brief. I took and I sent it out everybody a PowerPoint. I had come up with a couple of different models, and that seemed to be the most useful. And what I'd like everybody to do is kind of take a look at it from a form perspective and say, okay, if we wanted to do something down John's way about the hospital and the kid there, or if we wanted to do, you know, the Hammonds, or if we wanted to do another Bundy, this seems to be at least a way to kind of lay it out basically so that when we're having our discussions on the phone, we can refer to a different slide as opposed to, what was door number two again? And that's the intent.
Well, I guess my question is, why use a PowerPoint for a forum? I guess PowerPoint's new to me, and, you know, I realize I can change things in it, but wouldn't a forum itself function better?
Well, I asked Dennis for, I think I just sent it to you, Dennis, didn't I? I didn't send it to the board, that request for to put together a document that we can use for filling out potential response information.
Yeah, you did. And I was going to use that as a compliment. But, again, I had this kind of ginned up to get everybody to look at it, but it would seem to be a way we could, again, communicate. And then if we had to ever do a briefing, or we needed to send it to another organization, it's kind of laid out in a systematic format of what we decided.
Okay, now, if you can put that in a doc, DocX, and put the lines in where you want comments and things, I can make it a form PDF like the application. That, the application sucks, I grant you, because I'd done it in a doc, and then I did it quickly into the PDF. Probably need to put more lines in and less lines in different places, probably less employers. But if you can lay out what you want, which would go through all the stages, then I can make it into a PDF form, and it'll be easy to fill out, and it just might be a little more presentable rather than those 3x5 card presentations.
I know, Dennis, you probably... With what you did in the service, I know with what I did in the service, we constantly used PowerPoints to do presentations. They're really nice to do. You flip through it from slide to slide, and that's the idea, is that you're seeing a slide, and then we go to the next slide, we talk about the points, the bullet points. So as far as a brief goes, I really like the way you put it together, but that's kind of why I asked that question. That is blank. If you took this PowerPoint and made the points that you filled in into a doc to where we can answer those questions, and then I think what you're getting at, Dennis, is we could just take off that form basically, and you could plug that all into a PowerPoint as a presentation for the board or for if we needed to go to an outside entity. Am I understanding that correct?
That was the idea, and part of the thought was at some point you may need to discuss this with the Bundys, for example.
Yeah.
And that way you would have a tool that you could use.
Right.
Perfect.
I've been sending around the organizational structure PowerPoint that you put together with the application for people that...
Where you going?
To come on board.
Hey.
Everybody still really seems to like it.
Well, good, as long as it's communicating and it's, you know, pretty straightforward. If you get any feedback about, you know, what's a little confusing or anything, kind of let me know and we can polish it up a little bit.
Rocco.
I like it, too, and it will be the guy that put together the web page didn't work on it until Wednesday of last week, and so we've still got some things to go, but I think we can go online. But one of those is to have the PowerPoint viewable on a web page at the web, you know, a subordinate web page. We also promote the PP.
Correct.
So that people can put it on their computer and share it with their friends. So I think it's good enough. It becomes a recruitment tool.
Yeah, like I say, it'd be an easy way to answer some people's questions, and those that are still interested will, you know, inquire and we'll continue with them. Those that really aren't interested, well, we're not wasting any time trying just to bring them up to the basics.
But I'm going to make my observation on PowerPoint. You know, I use a lot of words to say things. If nobody's recognized that yet, then you're not paying attention. And to me, it's always been just basically talking points, but you're giving a visual as well as talking.
Yeah.
And so it's a very abbreviated version, and it's hard to get extensive information unless there's somebody behind. In many cases, I'm going to allude back to what you've done already, Dennis. That's great for a recruiting tool. But as far as a an extensive study, how could I get the information on the Hammond brief, for example, on PowerPoint? It would be 30 or 40 pages unless we just went with talking points on it.
Well, trust me, I've taken more than your Hammond brief and slammed it down to 12 or 13 slides when you had to for a general officer. It can be done. You just got to be careful with the words, and you got to be almost like you're spending money. Try to keep it in with as few as you can.
I guess we'll go ahead and deficiency after we've
used it.
So I'll yield on that one, too.
Yeah, especially for military guys, it's gonna be pretty easy to use that. And I agree with Gary that it's PowerPoints are a lot of times used in the sense of a presentation where bulleted talking points. But
if, so they don't look at their smartphone while they're talking.
Did you go through the
PowerPoint?
Yeah, I went. Okay, guys, everybody, if you could just kind of take a look at it then. If you got any comments, shoot them to me. If not, I'll polish it up, and I'll make a form that would be the precursor to it.
Where are they all? Back in the corner.
Yeah, then if you can get that, whenever you get a chance, put that
you
into
have to go
the
backyard.
A fillable doc. And then anybody looking at a response or a situation like John could take that doc and he could fill in all the pertinent information on the lady with her kids, and then we could build a decision protocol for that.
Okay, come on. Sorry.
All right. So I guess we're on to the new webpage, which is Gary.
Okay, I think I explained briefly. There's some buttons that will be added as there's something to put in the buttons. The reason I left articles on at this time is the press release would be an article. I think it would come in the article category. So that's open so that once the press release is approved, we'll have that installed under articles. But otherwise, I didn't want any blank buttons up there. I think the most impressive one is the organization one. That I've had a few people I know look at that, and they were kind of surprised and impressed by the degree of organization we've got in OMD. And I think, you know, that's one of our masterful points is we're being a lot more expansive than any other organization. But if we're satisfied with it, then the web page is ready to go online with the press release, and then we'll go public with it, Facebook, email lists, and everything. And that'll be addressed in the press release as far as a single document. So is that satisfactory?
I'm good.
Everybody commented back they liked the web page, but if you looked at it critically, that's it. And the press release would be on the in the articles button, once it's approved, before the press release goes out through other media.
I had a question. We had on the articles one, because I noticed that is a blank one. I think it's the
not
only blank
one,
right?
Yeah.
Is there, I guess, probably not right here, but if can you guys come up with any pertinent articles to I don't know exactly what is pertinent per se, but we can look at a bunch of articles and decide what we want links to if they're important.
What I kind of had in mind for that is articles pertaining to OMD generally, because for example, Ryan wrote that thing on the Bundy Ranch, the past operations or whatever. As we get more operations, we would have a page, say, on the Bundy Ranch, or if we had information at the Bundy Ranch, rather than go directly to Ryan's article, if it was getting extensive, it would go to a master page for Bundy Ranch, and then there would be a list of things available, articles written by favorable and unfavorable, if necessary. So these will expand as time goes on. I mean, we're hitting the ground. Or we could put articles about the Bundy Ranch in the article one, but I was thinking, my thought was more about articles about OMD or of a general nature rather than a specific operation. So.
I agree with that. I guess I misunderstood the purpose of it. If it's for, this is a place where they can go to see outside articles about
us, or articles that we write about us, like the press release, which would be the first one.
Gotcha.
And as it accumulates, then we go to a menu page where you would select subordinate articles. So it, you know, it's a tree, and it expands as information is added. All of the buttons potentially are trees where it expands. Not all of them, most of them. I don't want to drop down lists. How long, and you know, you've got intermixed different operations, being on the same one, so that if you're interested in an operation, you can see everything that's there when you go to that ultimate index page for the operation.
So I guess the question that we need to answer in order to strike item number six here is take a quick approval or questions. Is everybody pleased enough with the page to go public with it?
Yes,
I am.
I'm good.
I can't hear. Well, somebody's making a lot of ruckus.
That's me. I'm loading my truck.
What, with 600 pounds of drugs or what?
No, actually, about 70 pairs of boots.
Operation going on.
Yeah, I'm multitasking.
Mute your phone.
Dennis,
I'm good with the web page.
I'm good with the web page, too.
Okay. Then we can move on to the press release. It's also Gary.
Okay. Lisa Payne Naylor did the initial one. I went through and did some editing in it, but when Ryan read it yesterday, or maybe the day before, he was impressed about the reference to the Declaration of Independence, which really is a nice, I thought it was beautiful presentation. Does anybody, have you read it carefully? Are we clear, safe in the wording in it is the question, because this is going to go to mainstream media as well.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I like it.
All good with me too.
Okay.
All right, so we're good on the press release then.
Now it'll probably go out on the letterhead, which I've given you too. We didn't put it on the agenda. I failed in bringing that to Dennis's attention, but you've seen the letterhead, and it does have our names on it. Be happy with it.
Tell you something.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay, no problem using the letterhead to run the press release on.
Yep.
Dennis is the only identifiable entity on it.
Still a man of mystery.
Yep. I'm a man of mystery. I have a feeling that's going to change soon.
Well, when it changes, we get to use your last name then?
Sure. Everybody else will.
Or do we name you Menace?
You know, it's sort of whatever you like.
Okay, so now we're on to Wolf. Item number 8. I guess
I didn't do that. Dennis did.
We had talked about it last time, and I didn't know if there was an update.
Not yet. I've still got to try and get some information out of Montana, but my communication is almost non-existent at this point. I'll check Pacer again maybe Wednesday and see if anything else is up, but I will. You know, I'd suggest you go to my blog and then type in wolf trap and read the articles on wolf to get the full background, but this is an abuse. The judiciary to punish somebody, beyond a doubt. They entrapped him. If we look at the laws as they're written, a Class 3 licensee was in line in the handling of the shotgun. If you bought a shotgun from a Class 3 licensee and sold it to somebody else, that's a gun show sales. It's legal. So there's a chain there that makes it a legal purchase. Then there's also federal law, which is quoted in the article, that recognizes that there's an exemption if the transfer was made by a federal agent. And it was the transfer was made by a federal agent, which exempts Wolf under the law. And then the third interesting element is they said he didn't pay the taxes on it. Well, he possessed it for 5 minutes in a truck stop. So he didn't have an opportunity, unless they had a tax booth in the truck stop, to pay the taxes, which is kind of absurd in terms of, really an abuse of any reasonable application of the law. And then the fourth one, they want to... They acknowledge his ownership of the weapon by a motion for forfeiture, which means he has to give up what he owns. So they acknowledge his ownership. It's just kind of a convoluted mess. It's a good demonstration of how they're using the judiciary to punish patriots.
Hey. Well, that's their classic practice. They're going to throw a bunch of shit at you and see what sticks.
They don't know what talking at.
So the question arises, and I don't want to go into too much detail, if I can find that somebody wants to not take the transportation that's provided for him, do we want to provide alternate transportation? That's a pretty heavy task.
The issue is, before we go into a course of action, I know Wolf personally. I've sat face-to-face with him a couple of times, and he's a respectable guy. He is very intense on the law, if you will. He's a good man, as far as I can tell, and has always held down a job. He's a carpenter framer. The issue is, he had a radio show in Montana, and as far as sentiment within the community goes, because a lot of people in the Patriot community listen to Wolf's show from Montana. And many people have said that, you know, that the mistake that he made was that he should have, or rather, it was obvious that he would get arrested or that he would get up or whatever. So, hard about this. Same line as Simmons, but without support, because almost anybody's going to say, well, he had it coming. But I don't think he had it coming because of justice. I think he had it coming because of the corruption. And so I would support things like, you know, getting, if Casey Massey were on board, then obviously Casey Massey is wrongfully imprisoned. Wolf is also wrongfully imprisoned. And so I guess the question that we really should answer here is a matter of precedence for us, which is, when people are already imprisoned and they're basically being held as a political prisoner at this point, Wolf was set up because of his his outspokenness on Patriot issues. If somebody is being held as a political prisoner, are we going to entertain the notion of seeing to it that they are not held as a political prisoner? My opinion is, before, you know, I'll just, since I'm talking already, my opinion is that I believe that it's a, it is a task that at some point needs to be taken up, and as far as Operation Mutual Aid was concerned, or the predecessor here, made the guarantee in some public statements that if anybody were arrested in connection to Operation Mutual Aid, in travel to or from an Operation Mutual Aid mission, or in with any affiliation associated with Operation Mutual Aid, that I would personally pursue operations in order to make sure they were free. And so I guess that says what my opinion is.
Let me jump in. I've been on many of Wolf's radio shows, and Wolf was quite zealous in suggesting certain actions. Now, there is case law, and I'd have to pull the case up, that you can say anything you want as long as it's specific. If you say, I want to burn down the government building, that's fine. If you say, I want to burn down the Ra building, that's specific, and then that point is taken as a threat. And what I've heard, and Wolf, or even from the indictment and everything, Wolf had never been that specific about it, so he didn't qualify for a violation of freedom of speech by taking a directed threat. He was saying things that were rather risky to say, the same type of things that got Ron Cole 3 years in prison many years ago. Ron got specific. He was beginning to temper away from that, though, because when we started talking about committees of safety, he started realizing that perhaps there was a solution through committees of safety, which is the same thing that we're looking at with as kind of an extension of OMD. So he was shifting away from the advocacy of action, let's say violent action or damaging action or force action towards the solution of creating committees of safety where you create that parallel government and look at it as not political because it's outside the system, but it's the means the founders used to establish this country. So he was actually moving away from that, but the government perceived him as a threat. So they got this guy that he knew. There was another contractor up there, Ed Gray, and Ed Gray introduced him to Dirty, and we've got Dirty's name. I just haven't gone through the material I have, but apparently he's either an agent or an informant, but I think he's an agent. And Dirty's the one that transferred the shotgun. And as far as entrapment, I also addressed that. He wanted to buy what he had asked for, especially when there's a Class 3 licensee involved, a shotgun. They, at the last minute in the truck stop, showed him a video purportedly of the shotgun they were giving him, showing that it was full automatic. And in the case law on entrapment, it's kind of interesting. If they do a bait and switch at the last minute, which is what they did with him, that's called entrapment, legally. But his attorneys did not argue this stuff. They probably don't want to piss the government off. So from a legal standpoint, there's a whole lot of, even within their structure, there's a whole lot of problems here that were not addressed at trial with regard to illegal acts by the government. But that's the background on Wolf. Now, you know, when we get to what I mentioned, the transportation issue, it's a pretty risky task. And maybe it's too much to take on now. Maybe it's not. You know, it's do we want to establish a good, solid reputation where we get more people to go along with this, or do we take something risky like this early on in the game? But he'll probably be sentenced. I assume he's going to stay in Yellowstone down in Billings for a couple months until sentencing. So we've got time to look into this, unless they transport them right away. But chances are, usually they keep them locally until sentencing. After this phone call, they might decide to move them again.
You know, that everything OMD is risky. There's probably not going to be an operation that we consider that, because the courses of action that are pursuant to our mission statement, I don't think there's anybody's fooling themselves that we're not all putting ourselves out on a limb here, and anybody involved is going to be doing that. I guess my issue with, along the lines of what Gary finished up there with, is do we need to pursue operations that build the notoriety and the effectiveness of OMD before we consider ones that are not so publicly palatable? And I hate to put people, you know, the notion of justice and people's liberties in that type of a box where we're using our own notoriety, but I think it goes along with our effectiveness, whether or not we can garner enough support. I know that we can put together a team in order to accomplish those tasks, but is there any way to proceed after that? So I guess I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on it.
During the silence, you know, I can prepare a brief on this as well to give you a little more background, and I'll extract the pertinent parts that I discussed from the articles or rewrite them so you get a little more picture of what's transpired. So if we want to pursue it as a brief, that would be sufficient for the time being. We've probably got a couple months unless they transport him early.
I'd like a brief.
Okay. Once they transport him, then I think especially, and I'll give you a picture of the facility that he was going to go to, but they backed off when there was when I wrote an article about it. And they filed a motion to keep him at Yellowstone. So I don't know if they're going to move him more quickly or not, but once he's in that facility, if that's where he's going to go, it would be insurmountable. That's a fortress. I'll include a picture in the brief of that facility where he would probably be transferred to, which is why the transport becomes the issue. Okay, so I'll do a brief, right? Everybody in agreement?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're on to Dennis and the individual task list.
Well, it actually looks pretty good. If you would ever get your potential response matrix done, I can get that off there. Gary's gone ahead and done his kind of logo and design thing, and it's not for people to look at. Website enhancements are looking good. It looks like we're going live. And board member background check, I think that they've all been done. Is that correct?
Payne Nager and Spiro have not been provided them yet, but sort of based upon the decision earlier, I'll provide them the information to go ahead and do the background check.
And then also let people know when they do the background check, because it's running through the same one that I'm doing, to when they receive their email, to email you and let you know or let us know, so that, go ahead.
An image of what you use. The image doesn't do me much good. Could you copy and paste that in an email to me, what you sent in the image before with the code and everything in it?
Okay.
And then I'll put one specific for OMD on letterhead to give to the people that have to do checks.
I'll contact the actual background check people tomorrow and see if there's a way where I can separate them from Arizona Border Recon and OMD, if they can put some type of header on each background check that says, like, OMD, and then that way I know who's who.
Did you pay to sign up for that?
Negative.
Well, I wonder if, I don't know who's going to be handling the, who should handle the background checks, probably research. So maybe you can work with Dennis and just have him open up an account in OMD's name and we can use that so that Dennis receives the notification of the completion of the background check.
All right, well,
that's what you want to do.
Okay, when you're done with that, then I'll need the code. But, Tim, if you give me the wording now, copy and paste rather than an image, give me the wording, I can prepare it, and then once I get the information from Dennis, I can complete it and get it out to those two.
All right. I can do that. I'll do that tonight when I get back down to my place.
Okay, Tim, and then I'll get up with you probably early this week. I got a couple things going today, and we can chat about how I get an account for OMD.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, then we'll take care of that. Let's see. Brevity codes. Tim.
Waiting for an email from Ryan.
Okay.
Tim, now that I'm basically on this full time, so we will actually get to that phone call and conversation that I've been promising you for a couple weeks now.
I know. Hey, sometimes life gets in the way.
Not anymore. Life. This is life now. So.
Well, I understand
hey,
that.
If a man says he'll do something, he'll do it. There's no need to bug him about it every 6 months.
Okay, speaking of that, Tim's training plan's out there for people to review. If you get a moment, check it out, give him some feedback, and Tim, whenever you think you got enough feedback, let me know.
All right.
And that's pretty much it. I'm going to take and add coming up with a briefing sheet to support the PowerPoint for me. Let's see, a wolf brief for Gary. Lady was in the hospital.
Melissa brief for Gary.
Yeah, the Melissa brief for Gary. And let's see, an OMD account being set up by me for the volunteers. Anything else I need to add?
No, not that I know.
Okay, if you guys think of anything, shoot me an email and I'll throw it on the list or I'll throw it on the agenda for next time.
Oogie doogie.
Okay, moving on. That would be any new potential members there, Ryan?
We're in discussion now with a gentleman about who has done the background check and has done the application. And that's Tom Diamond, and he's actually here with us. He's not in the room right now, but he's here in Northern California to meet with us, and he's kind of in the decision stage. We've been talking with him about some potential avenues and such. He wants to be involved. He's just not exactly sure where he can be useful. So,
but
that's a potential.
I'd like to make an observation on Tom, too. He and I got to spend a lot of time together when Ryan was finally writing his report on the Bundy Ranch. So I've spent probably 6 or 8 hours with Tom. And, you know, the question was the enthusiasm and the energy. But he's cautiously, he's very capable, but his enthusiasm continued to rise through the entire course of the discussion between the three of us and the discussions between him and I when Ryan was busy. So as far as personal interview, I was very impressed by Tom. If he's willing to come on.
He'd be tier two.
Yeah, he would be tier two. We still have two seats to fill. That's logistics and communication. on Tier 1 unless we add some in the future. So everybody, I think, we're considering now is going to be Tier 2. But I was impressed by him. His abilities.
Well, that's Tom. And then I have four other people, Tier 2 people, that I have applications out to. And I think I've kind of briefly discussed them before, but nobody's got an application back yet. So I'll just hold that off until they do.
Okay, reports from functional areas. Planning, that's now your job. I'll make sure I make that change. Anything?
Nada. There's nothing to plan for, really, until we get choose to vote on a course of action on certain things. I also want to add, with the logistics, I freaking hate it, but I do have a big background in running logistics. I'll definitely be able to pick up that slack that's needed, I guess, until a position is filled. But I do have a lot of experience in running logistics, just from my military service, and so.
So, John, if I got some contacts, because I have some contacts that have been used in the past. For instance, at the Bundy Ranch, a ton of contacts were made for people that are very adept at procurement of different things. Are you cool with me passing on their information and you can make contact with them?
Yeah. Even if I don't fully make contact, I can definitely get that list, start building that list of people to utilize as assets. And that, even hearing this new Tom guy, when I'm hearing his engineering abilities and stuff like that, definitely got to have that logistics chief out there pointing fingers, setting up whatever needs to help get set up. And he would play a vital role in that as a Tier 2.
Okay, Dennis, you want to take my name off of it and put John in there? And, John, I'm going to send you something. We began working up when we were looking at Bundy Ranch 2, which was the O, basically. We were looking at 100 people for 30 days and what the requirements would be for equipment and supplies.
Okay.
And, if we have an operation, it would be nice to have a checklist on what we have to have available. It needs to be completed, I guess, and it's just got basically my thoughts in it now. But it needs to be completed with your experience so that we do have a checklist of what, and hopefully BTFA will come on board and we'll have other people contributing things to it. But to make sure that we've got the necessary supplies and equipment when we do move on an operation.
Yeah, and again, mine being military, it's much easier to sit here and say, okay, everybody, I got this many Marines, I got to do, we're going on a three days of supply. So building for 100 people, a 30-day of supply, I'm used to just putting how many MREs we need to pack up and how much water we need to bring. So, and I can dig through, I'm knock the dust off of my old computer that I use while I was in the Marine Corps, and I'm sure I still got a lot of Microsoft Excel templates and everything that we used on there. Going from military into civilian side, this is a little tricky. Am I going to develop a checklist for people that, like a gear list, I guess, and it's on them to provide their sleeping bags, their own personal gear, personal hygiene gear, and I can still develop that checklist to disseminate out to everybody. I'll find a way to make it where it's rolling over from military to civilian style.
Yeah, from an economic standpoint, it's more practical whenever possible, though, to make meals rather than tear open bags. That can get pretty expensive, but yeah, MREs would definitely be a factor for people in observation posts for an 8-hour shift or something.
Yeah, it is. Well, you think baking a meal is easier, but it's actually, it does get a little bit more complicated. Again, the civilian side, it to me, it's just much easier because the MREs have a shelf life. They're packaged, and it's much easier just to hand it out. Here's your 2,000 calories. And on a worst-case scenario, you can always go down. You know, you don't need to have 3 square MREs a day. If supplies are running low, or then, you know, you bump down to 2 MREs a day or even 1 MRE a day you can live off of. So,
but if they ate 3 MREs a day, that'd be painful.
Now, backing up, and I don't think you were in on these conversations on the board at the time, but when we were planning for Bundy Ranch 2, the preppers are willing to come in and help. So what we need is to look at, they would do the cooking, the dishwashing, they'd maintain a medical facility on site. They would take care of the toilet, you know, either pit toilets or portalettes.
And that's it. Being a good logistics officer, you know, it's you don't have to kick your own ass. You know, you set up, but also you're the main point of contact. You get stuff where it needs to go, but also you make it a requirement to these people that are setting up an aid station. You send me. You tell me what you need. You know, because I don't know all the medical supplies you need. You tell me what you need. I can handle the chow and the water and gear, a gear list. But then you let them tell you, oh, okay, well, we need toilet paper. We need this. And so,
well, you
utilize
the others. Estimate how many rolls of toilet paper the 100 people in 30 days need. You have to estimate food on it. I mean, we can't put the whole thing on them because they're aiding us. And we give them the list and say, you have to acquire this stuff. I think that's the
right way
that we were looking at. We've got to determine our needs and then rely on them to provide based on our determination their volunteering to prepare. But face it, especially with winter coming, if we have an operation, who wants to eat cold MREs when you can go into a tent and get warm and have a hot meal? So,
well, and Lee, look at John. I'm going down to your and Naylor's area. I'm going to be going down there specifically to go to Tim. We were going to meet down there anyway. If there's a possibility that you can meet me at the Bundy Ranch before that, while I'm on en route type of thing, there's a substantial amount of food and hygiene and those types of items at the ranch already, and they are for future operations. So we can get
okay.
a handle on what we already have, and then you know that at the Bundy Ranch, for instance, during that whole operation, there was fresh cooked meals, all 3 meals, but breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Lunch was usually snacks, fruits and stuff like that, but we had enough eggs coming in and cans of stuff. A lot of people were donating. So in the sense of, I agree with you, it is way easier. And in the
well, I'm coming from military, and now this is civilian operations taking place. So if we have these assets and we have these cooks and we have these utensils to cook with and we have this, then, yeah, you know, I'm going to take advantage of that. Of course, a good hot cooked meal. If we have tents to put up that, you know, we can set up a chow hall. We can set up this and that. Absolutely, I'm going to use it. But I don't know what all we have. I don't know what all, you know. So, but I'm just letting you know I'm willing to help on the logistics side of it. I can make good logistical decisions once I see what we have. And, you know, I can make a request list to be able to put it out there on blast, like, hey, we could really use this or this or this, running low on water, running low on whatever.
I'd be more than happy to help you with it, too, but I'll let you take the lead on it.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a name change.
Okay, we got the name change. Nothing for me. Let's see, Gary, public relations, anything you haven't already covered?
Okay, we set a goal of being ready to go online a today so that we can go online tomorrow. We began operating as OMPAB on, I believe, the 11th of last month. So within a month, we're ready to go online, and I'd say that is demonstrative of a very good team and a very cooperative effort. So I want to thank everybody for the assistance and me being able to accomplish that. Besides that,
okay. Logistics. I think, John, you just covered that, unless you got anything else.
No.
Okay, Tim, communications and training. Anything?
This week I'm getting together with Ryan to talk about that.
Okay.
We'll hammer some stuff out. I'm sure there will be some. I don't know how in-depth we'll have the board, but there will be communication to some of that.
Well, we can do more. We can do more when you come down.
Yeah.
Okay, Ryan. Anything from you on response coordination?
Other than I need to wrap the presentability of the response matrix up so I can get it out there for all your review. And other than that, I think we're. I think we already covered if you can get the pull out some fillable information out of that PowerPoint.
Yep.
And then we can put that to the OMD board, so everybody
Okay. Can
put it in their file. That way, if anybody runs into a response that they would like me to make contact with, then they can forward that form, fill it out to the best of their ability, forward it to me, and then I'll use it to, before I make the call, I'll have some information to go on.
Yeah, so it's sort of an initial contact form type thing we're coming up with.
Hey, Ryan, when are you going to the Bundy Ranch on your way down to Tim's?
I'm going to start my movement on the 31st, I believe, of the Monday right after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And so I'll be traveling down the 15, get down there, and the Bundy Ranch is en route. So I would assume, it's going to be me and another guy driving. We'll probably at 7 hours. I'm sure on Monday. Oh, yeah. So it's probably going to be like Tuesday, possibly Wednesday after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to be able to start planning.
Hey, let me jump in here. Ryan and I have worked on a number of these together. The current one with Melissa, I've been working with John, and something we didn't really discuss earlier on, but I think might warrant some clarification. As far as preparation of briefs on things, what I explained to John yesterday when I spoke with him is Ryan and I had worked as a kind of a subcommittee on the ones that we've worked on, and that John, when he'd sent you everybody everything, I think the way to work it, and I'd be happy to work with anybody as a subcommittee when something comes up to prepare the brief so that we've got a good of it overlapping. So procedurally, if we look at an initiation of investigation and somebody wants to the brief prepared so that we have it at the meeting, we don't need board approval, we can have them in front of us when the issue first comes up and get a little jump on the gun.
Okay. It
would be especially useful if something that has emergency. Fortunately, Wolf and Melissa don't. So that's just
okay.
A thought.
Gary, along those lines, if you could take and send me anything you would want to have to help you build that initial brief, I'll add it to the checklist of whatever I give Ryan as far as the precursor.
Well, I think the brief's a separate item. A brief is kind of the piece of paper we start talking about a subject. Now, I'll make sure that once I prepare a brief, it will go out to everybody on the list so they've got it available. But, like I say, I'm not used to 3x5 cards, so I'd rather Ryan prepare the mine's going to be basically historical background. And then Ryan, as response coordinator, can do the 3x5 paperwork. I'm too old to learn new tricks.
Okay, Gary, never mind. We'll move on. Anybody else have anything else?
I think we're clear on it.
Okay, Ryan, back to you for closing remarks.
I guess I would just restate Gary's praises as far as within a month we were able to get a pretty good structure together. I think we've put thus far a pretty good board together. I think it's we seem to be able to work out issues and carry out discussions. It's 11:23. This is going to be the shortest board meeting that we've had, so we're making some headway on that. Other than that, I'd say we'll just keep plugging along, and we've got our individual tasks, which Dennis will update for us and get out to us and drive on.
Okay. I guess at that point we just shut down recording and call it a day.